The following incident happened when Patrick was 4 years old and his brother Luke was 5. Already a half year in kindergarten had made Luke wiser. Luke and Patrick were fighting over who would go first in a game. They had quite a debate that almost ended in a fight. Luke changed his strategy and reasoned with his brother. "You know, Patrick, Jesus says that the first will be last and the last will be first, so it is better to be last." Patrick thought about that for a moment and then answered, "Then I'll go last." "Okay, then I'll go first," said a suddenly worldly wise Luke. So Luke was older and had learned how to be worldly wise. He had learned how to deceive and hoodwink his younger brother. He had learned how to get his own way, to manipulate others to benefit himself and get what he wanted. To put it bluntly, he had learned how to sin. He learned how to lie and deceive. He was now well on his way to becoming a Democrat. Or a spineless Republican. Or a wishy-washy flim-flam who calls himself a Christian, but when push comes to shove is no Christian at all. When the going is easy, they might look like one of the Lord's sheep, but otherwise they'll reveal themselves as in league with the wolves. Like the pastors, reverends, bishops, apostles, whatever title, Christian leaders who bask in leftist limelights as they spout off apostasies, twisting biblical teachings into pretzels until the sacred words of God supposedly say just the opposite of what their plain readings mean. Suddenly, love is love, however anybody in the world wants to define it. Men are only men for as long as they feel like it, because tomorrow they'll feel like women or something else entirely. And they can order up a medical procedure, strap on a device, and nurse their grandsons. Or someone born as a woman can have a few surgical procedures and turn into a man and back again. All painlessly. What freedom and self-fulfillment. But woe to anyone who might question their decisions or even oppose them with some kind of offensive, bigoted, antiquated, warped thinking. Such opposition to the free expression of beautiful individuals must be censored. And if that doesn't work, the opposition must be jailed, throwing away the keys. Yeah. Seemingly less harmful, at least less in your face, is the incessant mantra that democratic societies, free peoples, Americans especially, must all be equal in all areas, but especially economically. Again, twisting God's word, particularly the passage of Acts 4:32-37, demonically influenced leftists point to these words and claim that they not just condone socialism, but actually prescribe it as the preferred economic system for Christians. They say this with straight faces, despite the fact that verse 32 declares that selfishness was not a part of their community. But it never works out that way, because humans are inherently sinful, inherently selfish. Some are far worse than others. Give some people money, and they will literally do or say anything. For them, the money justifies all things. Such people, in reality, have lost all sense of self, all identity. Ask them questions, and they rarely know anything. Only what makes them feel good and buys them what they want. They'll do whatever anyone who pays them wants them to do. They're the perfect, obedient, little communist comrades. Selfish to the core, screaming and clawing for the next handout. Mindless, chattel slaves who think they're the freest people who ever lived. Such they all will be who will remain on earth when the Antichrist takes over the planet. This selfishness is the coin whose flip side is grinding poverty. As the World Economic Forum promises, you'll own nothing and be happy. This selfishness, here as a catch-all term for all that is evil and anti-God in America and the world, must be opposed by all of us who know better. We must stand against it, take it captive, and sacrifice it on a metaphorical altar to God that he may exterminate it and set humanity free, at least those who will have eyes open enough to take his offer of salvation. Our current illegal regime in Washington, D.C. are truly masters of selfish. The current squatter in the White House learned the trade well during his 36 years in the Senate before becoming vice president, and now as a fraudulent president. He's been in federal elective office now for 51 years. Amazing. One could almost call it awesome if it weren't an absolute disaster. The worst so-called leader America has ever had. And he just added another black feather to his cap of depraved actions last Thursday by threatening Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu with consequences if Israel did not allow the creation of a Palestinian state. Biden's regime effectively turned the United States government into an enemy of Israel and an ally of Islamic terrorists that are striving for Israel's annihilation. If there was any question before, there shouldn't be any now. Among many other partners, the Biden administration is in bed with Iran's Ayatollahs, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis in Yemen, ISIS, the Muslim Brotherhood, and various Muslim terrorists all over Africa, maiming and murdering our Christian brothers and sisters, especially in Nigeria. Worst of all was his move against Israel on Thursday. Biden backstabbed Israel on Thursday. What happened on Friday, just 24 hours later? The biggest earthquake to hit New York City in 140 years. New York was shaken, gently, mercifully, but enough to get everyone's attention. The United Nations was shaken in the middle of a Security Council anti-Israel meeting which condemned Israel for the Gaza campaign. The epicenter was in New Jersey, and it was the strongest earthquake there in nearly 250 years. I know something of New Jersey and New York, having gone to seminary in central New Jersey. New Jersey is similar in size to Israel, and that comparison is often made. Oddly enough, the epicenter of Friday's quake was in the town of, or the borough of, Lebanon, New Jersey. The country of Lebanon borders Israel on the north and is occupied by the Hezbollah Islamic terrorist group, which is currently launching missiles into northern Israel almost daily in solidarity with Hamas. Coincidence? For in several passages, God promises that he will fight on Israel's behalf. Isaiah 49:25 declares, Adonai says, I will fight with those who fight with you. In Genesis 12:3, repeated in Numbers 24:9, God announces, I will bless all who bless you and curse all who curse you. These are no idle words. Not a single word of God ever falls to the ground. Every word of God accomplishes exactly what he purposes it to do. They are backed by God's ironclad guarantee. You can bank on them. They will never, ever fail. In fact, veteran 16-year White House correspondent William Koenig has researched and cataloged all these America-Israel quid pro quo, tit-for-tat acts, and God answers in his astonishing book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. The latest warning from God for Biden, America, to touch the apple of his eye, Israel, came on Friday morning. And God was again merciful, for there are many of God's people here who oppose the evil currently running the show in D.C. And this did not take God by surprise. Nothing ever does. But you never hear about any of this on the news. Consider tomorrow's total solar eclipse. We spoke of it a few weeks ago. But it's not the only sign from God happening this month. Just like in 1811, in addition to the X mark over America by two solar eclipses 5 years apart, 1806 and 1811, Tecumseh's comet appeared once every 3,065 years. Right now, the Devil Comet has appeared. But also tomorrow, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN, is switching on the world's most powerful particle accelerator. CERN is in Switzerland, in an area the Romans dedicated to the pagan god Apollyon, the destroyer, known as Shiva in India and Horus in Egypt. Also, tomorrow, NASA, to study the eclipse, is launching three rockets. The atmospheric perturbations around the eclipse path, APEC. Guess what that acronym APEC means? It just happens to be the name of the Egyptian serpent god of destruction, chaos, and darkness, which swallows up Ra, the sun god. If that wasn't enough, also tomorrow, Neptune, Uranus, Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, Saturn, and Mars, along with the sun and the moon, will all be aligned during the eclipse. Coincidence! And later this spring, we'll experience a simultaneous emergence of two broods of cicadas. Again, this hasn't happened since 1803, 221 years ago. As we look upon our society, our government, with the sins piling up like mountainous garbage landfills, threatening to block out the sun, God's signs are unmistakable warnings of impending judgment. He's calling his people to himself to pray. Will we answer his call? If we pray, he will be merciful. Pray as Holy Spirit leads you. Pray that Lord Jesus the Savior protects you, your family, your city, everything that is yours. Who else will fervently pray for what's yours? He loves you. He loves us. Let us be faithful and love him back. Let us pray. I thank you, Father God, for being God, the one and only living God, and for giving us your signs to communicate with us what we need to expect. We thank you that you do these things and warn your people to look for them, to know what to look for, and then to properly respond and warn the rest of the world, as Jonah warned Nineveh. help us to truly respond and communicate your signs to those around us, that we may protect all that is yours and those around us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.